These words are very near you. They are in your mouth and in your heart, so that you will, in fact, obey them. These words were spoken by Moses in Moab, just before the children of Israel were to cross the Jordan and to go into that land, a land filled with many new kinds of ideas and different people. Moses was preparing the people of Israel for that confrontation. These words also, particularly the passage that I read, is very meaningful to me. It reminds me of the time when I was in the seminary. It was a time when the higher critical method was very much in vogue. There were all kinds of new theories. There was the meaning behind the meaning. There was getting at the inner meaning. And even though many of our professors didn't intend to confuse us, they often did confuse us. At times I felt hopeless. I said, I'll never get it. I'll never understand what all that hidden meaning is. It was, to say the least, very depressing for me at that time. And it was then that this text was used in chapel and became so meaningful. And as we look back at verse 11, that first one, it says, this commandment, or these words of God, are not beyond your reach. They're not up there in heaven. And already at the time of the children of Israel, there was the idea of religion of superior knowledge. There were the Persian wise men. There were the astrologers. There were those that were able to reach behind the mysteries to the mysteries. No, it's not there. Not across the seas. Later on, across the seas in Athens and Asia Minor, there were the mystery religions. Those that had all kinds of rites, all kinds of rituals, ceremonies, secrets that were kept away from the initiates until they became blindly loyal to their mentors and to their masters. No, it's not that one. It's not the animistic religions, and these were the ones that they were going to face when they crossed the Jordan. Sacred shrines, images, fertility, prostitution, even human sacrifice. But the text goes on. Rather, the text says, God's word is near you. It was talking to those people in Moab about to cross, and is speaking to us too. It's in your mouth. You're studying it every day. You have it in classes. It's here in chapel, in your devotions. You're conversing about it with your fellow students and with your family. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The Holy Spirit has worked faith in your heart. He's enlightened your mind. It's something for you to meditate on, in your mouth, in your heart. Then it says, it's not too hard. It's not beyond your reach, brothers and sisters. It's right there in the Word of God. It's not superior knowledge, ancient information. It's not rituals and ceremonies. It's not perfect liturgical performances or blind human political loyalty. It's none of those things. It's not shrines. It's not the crystals of the New Age movement or the kind of new things that are really very old that are coming into our country under the guise of the New Age. It's near you. It's simple law and gospel. It's the recognition that we are by nature sinful and unclean. It's a recognition that our first parents have fallen away from God. And it's the recognition that God was in Christ, bringing us back together again, breaking down the middle wall of partition. It's the kind of thing you share with the children at home. You talk about it with your wife. Hopefully, it's what you talk about with each other here on campus, too. It's not far away. It's the application of forgiveness of sins in our own life as we say to somebody, I've wronged you, brother. Please forgive me. It's not far away. It's not only for the minutes here in chapel or the hour on Sunday. It's 24 hours a day of every day of our life. It's near you. Why? The text tells us why. It says so that you may obey God's word. And how are we to do that? Which words of God are there? There's so many in the scriptures. But if we go on to verse 16, which is just after this text, we get some clue as to how and which. Because it says there, love the Lord your God and follow his directions, his commands, his laws, and his rules. And then verse 20, love the Lord your God, obey him, be loyal to him. So the point really is that it's the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has first priority in our life. He is not to fall off the back of the stage of life, but he is their center and in first place. A case study of which words and how to obey them. We think of that experience that Paul and Silas had in the city of Philippi. They'd been there preaching the word. They'd been there healing. Because of that, they found themselves in prison. And at midnight, they are praying and singing. All at once, there's an earthquake. The prison is broken. They are free. The jailer is faced with a situation in which the prisoners are going to escape. And we hear him coming in and saying to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? What's going through his mind? He's saying, these people were singing, they were praying, maybe I need to do that. Maybe it should be in a loud voice. Maybe it should be superior knowledge. I don't know what he was expecting Paul and Silas to say. But it's very significant what Paul and Silas do say. They make it so clear. It's none of those things. It's believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your family will be saved. It's focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. And we have it in direct words in Romans 10, where actually some of the words of our text are picked up and used again to tell us exactly which words and how to obey. Where it says, don't ask yourself who will go up to heaven. That is to bring Christ down. Don't ask who will go down into the depths. That is to bring Christ up. Rather, the word says this, Christ is here. The message is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's the very message of faith that we spread. That we spread and that we declare and that we proclaim. And so it goes on to say, it's just that simple. If you declare that Jesus is the Lord and you believe that God brought him back to life, then you will in fact be saved. That's what's near you. That's what's there. Then a fuller explanation of this comes in Mark 16, 15. It tells us what obedience to the word means in its fullness, what that faith and that joy of salvation in Christ means when it says, Jesus himself said to them, go everywhere in the world and tell everyone the good news, with the result that whoever believes will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So if we want to put it all together, if we want to conclude, what really does this text, as it is unfolded in the New Testament, really say to us? It says that obedience to the word is putting the triune God first. No other gods before me. Two, it's knowing the straightforward facts about Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he is the true man, that he's the Savior, and that he is the seeker of lost people. It's knowing that. It's also believing in Jesus as Lord, as personal Savior, and as seeker of the lost. Obedience to Christ, then, by declaring who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us. It's going everywhere in the world and telling everyone that good news about life in Christ. That's what obedience to the word is. Yes, brothers and sisters, God's word really is very near you. Those words are in your mouth. They're in your heart. And God is also present with his Holy Spirit to give you the power to know them, to believe them, to obey them, and above all, also to tell them to others. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear God and Father, we talk so often about being obedient to your word, about the obedience of faith. Help us too, dear Lord, to realize that it's not superior wisdom. It's not some kind of mystery religion where the initiates are never given the full secret, Lord. It's not some kind of shrines and some kind of special charms. It's not perfect performance of rituals and ceremonies, O Lord God. But that word is near us. It's in our mouth. It's in our hearts. It's the knowledge that God has loved us in Christ Jesus, that our sins are forgiven because he has lived and he has died for us, that his resurrection shows us that it is enough, that it is real, and that it's true. Dear Lord, may this obedience of faith be complete in our lives so that we may declare it to our families, to our friends, that we may talk it around this campus, and that we may take it to the world. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace, the power of God's Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.